Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, February 1st, 2014, 1 Adar 1, 5774, Truma, Exodus 25, 1 through 27, 19, Haftarah, Rosh Chodesh, Isaiah 66, 1 through 13, and 23. Devar Torah, Sacred Space is Where God Dwells and Hearts Are Moved, by Rabbi Peter S. Noble. Parashat Truma begins, "The Eternal One spoke to Moses, saying, Tell the Israelite people to bring me gifts. You shall accept gifts for me from every person whose heart is so moved, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." Exodus 25, 1 through 8. And 11 chapters later, we read, "The people are bringing more than is needed for the tasks entailed in the work that the Eternal is commanded to be done." Moses thereupon had this proclamation made throughout the camp: "Let no man or woman make further effort toward gifts for the sanctuary." So the people stopped bringing. Their efforts had been more than enough for all the tasks to be done. Exodus 36, 5 through 7. The standard joke is that this was the first and last Jewish building project that ever was oversubscribed. Two themes are central to this Torah portion: the building of the Mikdash, the holy place, which is ultimately understood as the temple in Jerusalem and a place where God will dwell among the people, and contributions that come from people whose hearts have been moved to give, that is, voluntary gifts. As we read about the building of the Mikdash, we also consider our modern sanctuaries, our synagogues, and their relationship with our present-day Jewish communities. Today, our community is consumed with analyses of the recent Pew Research Center study on Jewish Americans and concerned about some of its findings, such as this: the percentage of U.S. adults who say they are Jewish when asked about their religion has declined by about half since the late 1950s. Meanwhile, the number of Americans with direct Jewish ancestry or upbringing who consider themselves Jewish, yet describe themselves as atheist, agnostic, or having no particular religion, appears to be rising. Once again, doomsayers are projecting the end of the Jewish people, at least here in North America. The Pew study deserves careful examination because it reveals a great deal about the attitude of U.S. Jews toward Judaism. There is much hand-wringing and assigning of blame for the current state of affairs, which some perceive to be negative. One can be glib and respond with Simon Radowitz's concept of the ever-dying people, or remind ourselves of the 1964 Look magazine cover story, "The Vanishing American Jew." But it strikes me that we are in a time of transition. Professor Michael L. Morgan, in his wonderful book, Interim Judaism, Jewish Thought in a Century in Crisis, describes how the philosophies and theologies of the 19th and 20th centuries have run their course. At the same time, there is an explosion of Jewish activity and practice that has no clear philosophical or theological explanation. If I read the Pew study correctly, our challenge today is precisely the challenge as presented in this week's Torah portion. It is the challenge of spirituality, a direct connection to the divine, and an inspiring Judaism that moves us to contribute. It is the building of sacred community, Kehillah Kedoshah, wherever that community gathers to study, pray, or do deeds of loving kindness or tikkun olam, to become a sacred space, Mikdash. Obviously, the logical place for a congregational rabbi to begin is the synagogue. But the synagogue must not be narrowly conceived as a bricks-and-mortar space with a corporate structure and membership fees. The Jewish community is in a revolutionary stage that may be equivalent to our emerging from Egypt and creating the Israelite religion. It may be similar to our rebuilding after the destruction of the Second Temple, a religion based on Torah and mitzvah, with the synagogue becoming the replacement for the temple. The Shoah, the rebirth of Israel, the unqualified freedom of North American Jewry, and the explosion of commutations and learning technology call for a reconstruction of our thinking about what it means to be a sacred community. The fact that the naysayers are predicting our imminent demise and 100 flowers are blooming gives me great hope. Our problem, we are told, is that our neighbors love us to death. I certainly do not long for the good old days of anti-Semitism-restricted neighborhoods, college quotas, and limited career options. Freedom has its challenges, but wow, isn't it great to be free at last. Another problem, we are told, is that we lack Jewish knowledge and do not perform enough mitzvot. This may be true, but not necessarily in the way the prophets of Dune conceive of it. People want knowledge that both informs and inspires, and deeds that truly sanctify us in the context of truly engaged community. We should look at the successful experiments like independent minyanim that have grabbed hold of young Jews and Judaism in bars and coffee shops with rabbis whose goal it is to inspire and encourage Jewish living and not merely synagogue membership. The Union for Reform Judaism community organizing model is bringing together like-minded Jews who want to improve the world. Funding models that encourage participation before giving have begun to take root in mainstream congregations. Jewish camping and early childhood programs create community and Jewish identity, but can we extend them to parents as well as children? Streaming religious services and online education connect people with busy schedules, as well as those with location or physical challenges, creating a synagogue without borders. What kind of cooperative models could we create if we allowed our imaginations to run wild and encouraged real religious entrepreneurship? The synagogue of the future must be a mikdash as well as a mishkan for God. When I read this week's parasha, I am inspired by its lofty goal to create a holy space so that God can dwell among us, and my heart is moved by this beautiful invitation to want to make it happen. We know that our ancestors were so inspired and moved that Moses had to tell them to stop donating. We might want to dismiss this as fantasy or hyperbole, but I believe it presents us with a blueprint to reinvent Judaism. In Rethinking Synagogues, A New Vocabulary for Congregational Life, Rabbi Lawrence Hoffman says, "This is the time to think logically and not programmatically. It is time to reclaim the language of gifts, which according to Exodus 31:3, is wisdom, understanding, and skill." Then we can say, as Hoffman writes, "We reconceptualized synagogue membership as a sacred contract with a community where our gifts and passions are recognized, nourished, and directed to the enrichment of others." Rabbi Peter S. Noble serves as interim rabbi at Temple Judea in Coral Gables, Florida. He is Rabbi Emeritus at Temple Beth Emmet, the Free Synagogue in Evanston, Illinois, and past president of the Central Conference of American Rabbis.